This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. Whether you're in the mood for a foreign language film festival or a multimedia art experience by an internationally acclaimed painter, it's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack. The Britannia Theatre is ground zero for one of the longest-running foreign language festivals in the country, the 23rd Annual New Orleans French Film Festival, presented by the New Orleans Film Society, kicks off right after Mardi Gras, showcasing more than 20 diverse film offerings. This year's festival pays homage to the late filmmaker Agnès Varda and includes the U.S. premiere of Xavier Dolan's Matthias and Maxime. The festival's artistic director emeritus, John Desplas, is here with all the details. John, welcome to Inside the Arts.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
23 years and this festival is still going strong. Why does it have such a pull with Francophiles and cinephiles alike?
Well, you know, part of it is, I think, people see it as a romantic thing. Going to a French movie, going to French films during a film festival has a romance to it. I mean, I can give you reasons why, you know, the French film industry, other than Bollywood, is probably the most prolific in the world. They put out a good product. That always helps. But again, I think, you know, you say, well, you know, but why? And I think it is just that simple, that there's a romance to it.
Yeah. And you're celebrating a near century of French language films this year. Tell us, how are the films chosen and how diverse are the offerings?
Well, they are chosen, but they're also to a great deal what's available and what will the film companies or the production company wants to put in a festival. Festivals have now become part of the marketing of a film. Sometimes they, well, we don't have a distributor yet, so we don't want it out there. Or we do have a distributor and it's not coming out theatrically for another 6 months, so we're going to pass on a festival. So it's not just you choosing, it's also what is being allowed for you to choose.
And the offerings this year, how diverse are they?
I'd say they're probably more diverse than we've ever had. It's amazing. And they're not just from France, they're also from Canada and other places, anywhere where French language is spoken.
Now, the festival pays homage to the late great filmmaker Agnès Varda. Tell us about the filmmaker and her connection with this festival.
Well, Agnès Varda was one of the original New Wave directors, and she was really practically the only female part of the New Wave. She was married to Jacques Demy, Umbrellas of Cherbourg, and she was perhaps not as front and out there as Demy, but once he died, she became more of the stellar attraction herself. She's done incredible different kinds of films, both fiction and nonfiction, lots of documentaries, but also she's done some incredible films like Le Bonheur, Happiness, which she did early in her career. And this film is something I think she knew the end was in sight.
Les gens sont au cœur de mon travail, les vrais gens. C'est ainsi que je nomme depuis mes débuts les gens que j'ai filmés dans les rues.
It's her reminiscences on everything from filmmaking to cats to feminism. It's just a beautiful movie. A reverie and a reminiscence, I would put it that way, maybe.
And the film is the centerpiece film of the festival, Varda by Agnès?
Yes, yes. I think it is perhaps the one I choose first.
Tell us about this year's highlights, John. What will be the experience of the French Film Festival?
There are a couple of films that are retrospectives that are especially interesting. One is Mr. Klein. This is a film that's sort of been out of circulation for quite a while. It was directed by Joseph Losey, he was an American filmmaker, but he was blacklisted during the McCarthy era and had to move to England. And this is the only French language film he did. It's from the early 70s. It deals with Alain Delon, who plays a art dealer who's actually exploiting, this is around the time of the Nazis were taking over in in not only Germany, but they were now in Paris. And he's selling these artworks by French Jews and taking advantage of them. And then suddenly something very strange happens. He is confused for a Parisian Jew because they have the same name. And he begins to discover what the persecution of the Jews is all about. The New Yorker film critic, Anthony Lane, he never reviews films from the past, no matter if it's a new restoration or whatever. This was an exception. He called it a masterpiece. I haven't seen it, and I'm looking forward to it.
Now, you open with Justine Triet's psychodrama, Sybil.
Yeah. That's an interesting little movie about a psychotherapist who decides that she's no longer interested in shrinking heads, but always wanted to be a writer. And the problem she's having, like so many writers, is inspiration. So what happens is this actress gets in touch with her. They start meeting and talking and discussing her problems. And gradually, the therapist finds that this is what her inspiration is, this person's life. And it's a question, well, are you taking over her life? It's a very interesting movie.
And you have the U.S. premiere of a work by Xavier Dolan?
Yes, Matthias and Maxime. He's a very strange director. He's very young. He's been making films that have been shown at Cannes since he's like 26. And he does one a year, practically. He's Canadian, and they're a little off-center always. And this one, a couple of childhood buddies are getting together to make a short film. And it's required that for one of the scenes that they kiss. And this triggers a whole problem for them into, well, what is the nature of our relationship? Where are we going with this? What happened there? And complications ensue.
Now, you also have a bevy of documentaries, some of them on the French fashion powerhouses?
Yeah, there are two. One's a documentary on Yves Saint Laurent that he did his best to have squelched for a long time. And only a few years ago was it legally able to be shown. This is like the first time it'll be shown here. It's very revealing about Yves Saint Laurent. You can imagine there are things that were a bit controversial or questionable about his behavior, and that would be why he was not eager to have it shown. And the other is a film on the House of Cardin, Pierre Cardin. It's basically a straightforward documentary on the fashion industry, and especially as seen through Pierre Cardin.
You also have documentaries from Louisiana's Cajun country.
We do. We have two documentaries. Both of them deal with a sort of a question of identity. One called La Vie, which mainly deals with the backwoods and sleepy little towns and what is happening to them. And the other one is simply calling Finding Cajun. That deals more directly with the whole question, well, who am I as a Cajun?
Now, you have a film in tribute to the late, great bluesman Robert Johnson. It's called Mississippi Ramblin'. What's the French connection?
Well, Johnson died at the age of 27, and he was basically unknown. And it's only in the 70s and 80s when he was sort of discovered again by rock and roll and blues musicians. And there were two French cartoonists who got interested in him. And they were going to do a whole cartoon on Robert Johnson. And so they came down to Mississippi to interview people who might have known him, were still alive, and other blues men, and try to find out, well, who was Robert Johnson? I mean, he has this tremendous influence on the music, especially blues, and yet not a whole lot was known about him.
And so these two Frenchmen have put together a documentary?
That's it. And they have done this documentary on Robert Johnson. And as an added treat, we're having music following the film by a group called St. Louis Slim.
Wow. So you've got new works, you've got French classics, you've got documentaries.
Yeah, hopefully something for everyone, something for every taste. Quite a diverse group of films.
What would you say is the best way to experience this festival?
Go to it. Get a copy of the program. Go through it, see what interests you, and try to make as many as you can.
New Orleans French Film Festival Artistic Director Emeritus, John Desplas. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
The 23rd Annual New Orleans French Film Festival runs February 27th through March 4th at the Britannia Theater. You'll find more info and a lineup of films online at neworleansfilmsociety.org. You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO, New Orleans Public Radio. I'm Diane Mack. Internationally acclaimed mixed-media painter Micheline Thomas's new exhibit, Femme Noire, continues its run at the Contemporary Arts Center. The Brooklyn-based African-American artist is known for complex collage works challenging ideas of the black feminine aesthetic. Her new body of work explores identity and celebrity. It's my pleasure to welcome Micheline Thomas to Inside the Arts.
Hello. Welcome back to New Orleans. You have been in a very creative period since your last exhibit in the Crescent City at Tulane's Newcomb Art Museum. Tell us about your latest explorations and the inspiration for this new body of work.
Many, many things. I have been working on this body of work for a few years, and I decided to explore the color purple and create an amazing body of work around this series. The color purple and celebrity, and looking at women like Naomi Sims and Diane Carroll, and these women that I feel personified and created a sense of representation and agency and platform through media. The reason why I chose these particular women, and specifically the color purple, is because as a child, I looked to them and remember them as these iconic figures in my life as I grew up. They inspired me enough to make work out of, basically. And so one day I was visiting in Switzerland, and I remember watching this TV show, and a color purple hat came on. And it was really amazing to watch the color purple and to see the subtitles in a different language. And I was just like really profound and thinking about how timeless and classic the color purple was, and it just took me back to my childhood, and I started to recall that particular moment, the 14-year-old girl who sat and watched The Color Purple for the first time with her mother on 42nd Street Theater in Times Square, New York, and what The Color Purple did for me at that particular time of watching Celie and Suge on the screen kiss, watching two black bodies for the first time, watching them on the screen and what that meant, that mirror image, seeing yourself in that particular reflection and remembering and thinking that that's me as I sat next to my mother, and as a visual creator wanting to pull that and reimagine that in two-dimensional surface and see if I could capture that as a painter, if I can do that for someone else in my own way. If I can articulate that in my medium and give that same voice to someone else. And so these works, Femme Noire, it's about a community of black women. It's a community about sisterhood.
You are known for complex collages, rhinestone and acrylic works, and portraits of famous African-American women. But these new works differ from your earlier paintings. How so? What are you exploring?
The new works that I'm making in this show, they differ than my usual works because they come from collage in a way that are mostly from silk screens and not from my usual works of the rhinestones. And so what I'm exploring is images through photography and film and also the still image. When one explores photography, they are looking and they understand photographic images as notions of truth, right? And when they're looking at a painting image, that's a creative and visual image as fantasy, because that's the creative idea of the painter. And so what I'm exploring is that gray area. There's a sort of line of divide where there's a visual manipulation in photography. We believe everything in photography, we take it as truth. And there's this line of artifice that I'm exploring in these new works. And I'm printing them on these acrylic mirrors because one can see themselves. And when you see yourself in these images, there's this sense of belief, of representation. And so I'm playing with these notions of manipulations, of the artifice, of truth, of mysticism. I wanted to layer that on there because if you look at old photographic images, historically, if you take an old photograph, who's to say that one standing there of a African man with a spear, who's to say that that is not something that was orchestrated, right, by the photographer? There's a sense of performativity in photographic images because someone had to take that. There's a line of manipulation with photography. That's where we have this understanding of believing the image as it is because we can understand that because as a human, we recognize the familiarity of it because we recognize that human being. We can see ourselves in the image. We see the eyes, we see the nose, we see everything about that person. So in the portraiture, we recognize that. So we take photography as it is. We believe everything in that photograph, even though there can be forms of manipulation. And so for me, I like to play with those lines. There's a gray area between photography and painting. When you walk into the show, you'll see my earlier works, which are the rhinestone works that lead you into the newer works, which are the silkscreen mirrored images that fall away from these sort of more painterly works. And these are the works that come from Polaroid images that are printed on these silkscreen, really luster kind of diffused surfaces that really take you into the sense of really trying to find the image where you can kind of see yourself, but then you start to look to try to determine what is happening with the image. So you get a little lost into the surface. As an artist, I love that push and pull and play with formal aspects when it comes to looking and thinking about how to integrate photographic images with the painting images.
Wow. Describe one of the works in the exhibit.
I'm really excited about a work that is called Mia's Muse. Mia's Muse is a video, a 12-monitor piece, analog monitors that is hand-built, old monitors that they don't make it anymore. 12 monitors that are laid on top of each other, almost like a landscape. This particular video, Mia's Muse, is a look at the Black body, where I have juxtaposed my Black body along with historical references of the reclined nude throughout Western history, and looking at the Black body and how we reimagine and see ourselves in the context of how Black bodies have been positioned or how they've been ignored throughout art history. And so instead of using someone else, I decided to use myself because I'm actually reclining nude, shot with a Super 8 camera and an HD camera. It's a moving image. You're standing in front of it, and it has the narrative overlay of Eartha Kitt speaking about her life, how she has transformed from Eartha Mae into Eartha Kitt. And she's talking about her journey as Eartha Mae, as Eartha Kitt. And it's a very vulnerable, very intense, dark journey about her abusive childhood, her very painful childhood of her being Eartha Mae into Eartha Kitt as the celebrity. As you hear her voice and as you see my body laying reclined on the couch that is juxtaposed with these art historical iconic reclined nudes that are interlaid and overlapped, it's this beautiful collage image that is just moving across the screen with the voiceover and then also the reeling sound of the Super 8. So it's a very sort of impact sound that just really springs you in and holds you there because you begin to think of who you are as a person, but you begin to respond and relate to the story. But also as a woman, you begin to think about your own journey, your own experiences, and you start to look at your body and you start to understand that the differences of our own bodies and to accept that there's many different types of bodies. And one of the reasons why I wanted to use my own body and not necessarily someone else's as a person who works with so many different women in my work and use different muses, from my mother to my partner to other friends, and use myself, is because I felt very important to put myself in as the sitter, which is a very vulnerable place to be sometimes, to understand that position of that fragility, to be in this place where, as the creator, to know that sometimes when you're the one who's looking, that you can be the muse as well. Allow yourself to be the one who's the subject or the object in that particular situation. It's like turning the table. And so very intense and emotional, the way the monitors are set, it's curved like a landscape, it's curved like a body, and they're stacked on one another. It's really, for me, one of the most powerful pieces in the show. And it allows the viewer to stand right in front of it. And so it's a very physical piece. I love it. It's one of my favorite pieces.
Why is the subject matter of identity so important in your work?
Why not? I think it's very important as an artist to make work that is about who you are. I think everyone uses their identity in different ways. Art is an extension of yourself, no matter who you are. It's important that I am creating these images of powerful Black women and celebrating them, because there's not enough of them, period. And unapologetically, there is not just enough of them. I think oftentimes we are so ready to see negative images, and I feel best when I'm making these images. I don't know how to do anything else, to be honest. When I'm in my studio, it's just in my makeup. If people can see themselves in my work, then I feel like I'm doing my job.
Acclaimed artist, Micheline Thomas, thanks for spending time with us.
Thank you.
Micheline Thomas's Femme Noir is on view at the CAC through June 14th. More info is online at cacno.org. That's our show for this week. Major support for Inside the Arts comes from the Hellas Foundation. Additional support comes from the Petit Theater. Our program is a production of WWNO and is archived at WWNO.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette on Tuesdays at 1 p.m., Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m., and a shortened edition on Thursday mornings at 8:45, when we'll go Inside the Arts. I'm Diane Mack.